Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray's producing and engineering the show. He does such a fine job with us, and he is ready to go here for a new week, as am I. Welcome to the program, Monday, January 25th, 2016. Hope each and every one of you had a good weekend. Not a good weekend sports-wise for the Arizona Cardinals, who really got hammered back in Carolina, but they had a good season, so what the heck. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We'll begin with our Monday political face-off today, featuring Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Paul Eckerstrom is with us. Mr. Eckerstrom, former chairman of the state and Pima County Democratic Party, and Bruce Ash is seated to the right of me, now in his third term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And again, our phone line, 790-2040. If you're a supporter of Donald Trump, I would be very curious to hear from you during the half hour. Is there anything that Donald Trump could say or do that would make you change your mind? I mean, he said something pretty outrageous, that he could stand on, the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and he wouldn't lose any support. That's kind of crazy. Anyway, Bruce Ash and Paul, how was the weekend, guys?
Well, other than a sports disaster, It was okay. I had a great day yesterday, walking with my wife, going on a bike ride on the Rita River Trail.
Really?
And went to the nursery and just all the things that that I've been longing to do for a long time.
Okay, for a little planting.
I was doing reconnaissance do some work here shortly, and got some good ideas. And
well, I hope it was at my friend and sponsor to come on here, Green Things. But I won't ask if it wasn't Green Things.
Actually, it's almost always at Green Things.
Thank you very much. And that was
a great nursery.
Unsolicited from Bruce Ash, who is also a big supporter of one of my other fine sponsors, Moe's. And before I get Paul in here, how did Mo do with that big piece that you had, that huge Navajo rug that wanted framed?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Anybody who walks into my home will tell you it looks absolutely awesome.
Good.
And the way that he gets in and does his work is just amazing. It's like he did some of the most impossible hanging up, like 12 feet up in the air, and he did it.
Scaffolding.
He didn't even break a sweat. He's a mild-mannered guy, but he's a pretty amazing professional.
Michelangelo. Right.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Mo. A wonderful endorsement for you. Paul, and you had a good weekend.
Yeah, except for the U of A basketball losing by a point, and I licked my wounds on Sunday and then watched Arizona get wiped out too. So it was not the greatest day of the weekend, but it was beautiful weather.
Hey, and again, 790-2040, folks, if you're a Donald Trump supporter, I really am curious, is there anything that can be said or done by Mr. Trump to make you change your mind? Bruce, do you want to add anything to my question?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if it was crazy as much as it was ill-advised and arrogant.
The remark he made.
I actually think that there was a far more strategic error that Donald Trump committed in the past week. And, you know, I don't have any favorites. I don't have any dog in this particular hunt. The polls had been showing that 20% of Democrat female voters were trending toward Donald Trump. And this has been the case now for several weeks now. I found it very, very curious that Donald Trump took the endorsement of Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin, since the 2008 campaign, is not the kind of person, if I was the front runner going into these first contests, that's not the person that I necessarily would want to be tromping around Iowa with. And frankly, and Peggy Noonan said it a lot better than me in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend.
Yeah, I saw that
article. You can't control Sarah Palin. She's going to say whatever she's going to say.
She's She's out there. You know,
certainly this was to sort of short circuit Ted Cruz, who's doing well in the Iowa pre-caucus polling. But this is a individual, a personality who you never know what she is going to say later on, good or bad. And I think it was not a very smart campaign move.
Paul, what do you think? Before we take a call here, someone has responded about Donald Trump.
Nothing surprises me that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth anymore. And you know, it was arrogant and egotistical what he said. But that's what his campaign's all about. It's all about his ego. And it really isn't about what he's going to do as president. It isn't really – it's just about – being a winner or being a loser,
and he wants to be a winner. He's had very liberal views in the past, not so.
You know, he has. I've been very surprised that, whenever his Republican competitors bring that up, that it doesn't seem to do anything because he did have was for national health insurance. You know, that's what Bernie Sanders is for, and I'm for not the Republican rank and file.
Well, let's you know be. Careful in terms of what we're calling Mr. Trump. The politics that he appears to be embracing is that of a strongman. And that is for some people, and again, I'm sort of trying to show both sides here, that is for some people as dangerous as Barack Obama being a strongman president. The Constitution is the know that thread that holds us together, and the separation between the three branches is extraordinarily important, as we've seen over the past 7+ years.
It's interesting. Every time Bruce talks about Barack Obama, it has to be negative. And I've never heard him say that Barack Obama was a strong man before. He always said he was a weak president, and now he's a strong man.
Interesting.
He's right about the whole term of strongman. You know, there's other people in history that came to power because of that and appealing to people's insecurities. And that was, you know, Mussolini and then after that, Hitler.
Yeah.
When you go
to the Hitler card,
no, but
you discredit.
They were strongmen. They were strongmen. And I don't want to compare Donald Trump to what Hitler did or anything like that. But that's how they came to power. The same kind of way where they projected the strongman image and got elected.
We start voting in both parties 8 days from now. And in 30 days, we're going to have this conversation. And 45 days, we're going to have this conversation. There's a lot of moving parts. And until they start voting, you know, that's when the real contest begins.
Hey, let's go to Ingrid. Ingrid, do you have something you'd like to say about Donald Trump, the way he expresses himself?
Yes, I think it does have to do with regionalism, where you live. Oh, by the way, as far as Sarah Palin goes, I think he just doesn't want to offend her. I think that really is what's going on.
She'd be the only person in this campaign that he hasn't wanted to offend or cared about offending, that's a very interesting comment, Ingrid. You're a smart lady, but I'm not sure I'm with you on that one.
Okay, well, now getting back to the way he expresses himself, he is from the Northeast, and so am I. When I first came to Tucson, I asked for something in a store, and the person said to me, "We sure don't have that." And I thought to myself, you sound happy to let me know that you can't assist me. I heard that expression again, and then I finally inquired about it, and I found out that is the way people say, we don't have it, we sure don't. I've always heard it, we sure do, as if I'm happy to help you, and the word sure is put in there. So that happens. I think that he speaks in a very... I don't want to say exaggerated, but it's kind of hyperbolic, and that is the way Northeasterners speak. Like, he's astonished that he's getting all this kind of support. My goodness, if I were to shoot someone in the street, it looks as if I'd get support. He's astonished at what he's receiving in the way of positive attention. I don't think he meant it the way so many people are taking it.
Okay.
Maybe agree with that if it was people in the Northeast that was supporting, but he's getting lots of support in the southern states and across the country, and I'm not sure that's really the case.
Well, Ronald Reagan spoke in bold colors, not in pastels. A lot of our presidents have spoken in pastel sort of words. Donald Trump, taking a page from Ronald Reagan, is speaking in bold colors. That's going to offend some in 2016 the same way that it offended voters some in 1980. And if you remember, although it was pretty much a rout over Jimmy Carter, the nation didn't finally decide on Ronald Reagan literally up until about 2 weeks before the contest that November. He was trailing in almost all the polls, and he pretty much soundly trounced Jimmy Carter.
But there was a difference between what Ronald Reagan's rhetoric and Donald Trump's. Reagan may be a little bit black and white and delineated. Mm-hmm. You know, Donald Trump, it's bold red. Yeah. I mean, he's way over the top in terms of Paul,
society has changed a lot. When we look back in terms of what the conforming norms were at that time, Ronald Reagan was very, very much over the top. He was hyperbolic.
No, he wasn't.
He was no. no Paul, you
had lived through that.
Paul, you were a little kid.
No, I
was a little kid.
I was in college. I was in college.
Okay, you were in college. Anyway, sorry.
Hey, before we take the break, Bruce, did Trump have quite a bit of support at the state convention that you attended on Friday night and Saturday up in Phoenix?
You know, it was hard to say. It was very split down several middles with Trump, with Cruz, with Rubio, with Bush. I didn't see much in the way of Kasich or Fiorina or Christie, but certainly, those four received an awful lot of attention. There was no Huckabee or Santorum or Rand Paul either. Although I think that the strategy, and maybe we can talk about this after the break, the strategy in this particular process is going to be a second ballot strategy for a lot of people.
Interesting. Yeah.
All right, we'll take our break right here, 12:16. Mo is presenting Mo's Gallery, Fine Framing and Gallery, presenting our Monday political face-off. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. The Monday Political Face-Off is brought to us by Mo. Thank you, Mo. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing. Bruce Ash and Paul Ekstrom here. I want to switch gears just briefly here. The Arizona House proposal, Paul Ekstrom, would require limits on the state's school voucher program to allow every public school student to use state cash to attend a private school. So there is a move to expand vouchers.
Well, one, I think the Arizona Constitution needs to be changed before you could really do that. But they seem to be able to get around it by allowing private STOs take tax credits, who then take 10% off the top of our tax money, and then you can use it as a voucher. Here's the real – this has been going on for 40 years. The state legislature, the Republicans in the legislature, have never liked public schools. They want to destroy the public school system, and they've been defunding it so much that now people are desperate to get out of the public school system because our schools are falling apart because they're not properly funded. As a result, you know, what's happening now is the rich people who already send their kids for $13,000 a year to go to St. Gregory's High School, let's say, they're going to get a $4,500 subsidy to send their kid to St. Gregory's, and they're going to make out like bandits because the $4,500 that regular middle class and low income families are going to get, they're not going to be able to afford their kid to St. Gregory's to make up the difference, the $8,500 difference. So they're going to end up going to strip malls, strip down schools, pay a for-profit school, private school, their $4,500 and get a horrible education. We are going to a two-tier education system where the rich get a really good education and subsidized by the state, and the rest of us are going to have our kids going to really substandard schools, and they're not going to get a good education. That's what's happening in this state, and that's why, and that's what the legislature has been planning. They tried to get rid of the limits on vouchers in the Constitution of Arizona in 2010, and they said, well, the public's not ready yet to go for that because they looked at the polling numbers, so they pulled it off the ballot. They're trying to get rid of the provision that says the state cannot give tax money to public private schools. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately where we're going, where we're going to just have an entire privatized system where the rich send their kids to good schools and the poor and the middle class get substandard schools.
Bruce Ash.
Well, another one-note Johnny attack on Republicans and the state of education. The fact of the matter is, Paul, is that education is a commodity just like health care and just like insurance and just like a lot of the other choices that we make. And there is a growing frustration, and it's not because schools have been defunded, as you've said. Education is the single largest item in any state's budget on a year-by-year basis. Look, the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of parents who don't like what goes on in school districts, the curriculum that's provided, the level of opportunities for their kids for quality education. And parents have been making that decision in droves. We've seen it here in Tucson Unified School District. We've seen it with Tucson Unified School District parents who don't just decide to go into a private school. They want their kids to be in Catalina Foothills, where they think that there's a better education, or in Flowing Wells, where there's a better education, or Marana, or you know, some of the other better performing school districts. Every time that guys like you who think like you want to put more restrictions on parental choice and classroom choice, the worse the situation is. Actually, I figured you'd be a lot more disappointed with a legislative proposal that's been made to finally end the desegregation program in Tucson over a period of years.
I
think you and I,
I think that's outlived its usefulness. Yeah. I agree with you on that. But listen,
the
bottom line is, if this passes and we totally privatize, you might as well close all the public schools in the state, because ultimately that's where we're going.
Yeah. That's where they're starting, Paul. That's not going to end up happening.
And on top of that, you might want to keep them open as substandard schools for the poor people who aren't going to be able to afford to send their kids to St. Gregory's. That's what's going on.
Paul,
it's a direct subsidy from our taxpayer money directly into the pockets of rich people that send their kids to private schools already. That's what this is.
Yeah.
And on top of that, destroy our public schools in the meantime so everybody else doesn't get a decent education.
You know,
what this is.
Paul, whether it's in Tucson or Los Angeles or Detroit or Chicago, all of the places where Democrats run cities and school districts, those are where the really, really crappy school districts are run by Democrats. So you want to insinuate, Paul, that Republicans hate Latinos.
You know who runs Minnesota?
Wait a
Democrats.
Second.
Minnesota has one of the best education systems in the country.
Stop.
Massachusetts, Democrats.
Stop. Okay.
They have one of the best education systems in the country.
Paul,
Maryland, same
Paul,
thing.
Paul, you're an out-of-control one-note Johnny on this. I'm sorry.
It'd be interesting to see what Dr. Sanchez, who will be my guest tomorrow, says about this TUSD DSEG situation.
Well, look, at the end of the day, parents who are going to vote in this election, there's going to be a proposition that we're voting on in May, Proposition 123,
right.
Is going to be a key thing in the future of education here in this state. Our governor, members of both parties, the educational community have come together. It's not a perfect kind of a plan, but it is a plan. There's lots of opposition to it, even amongst Republicans. But I hope that one thing we can do is come together to get more money going into the schools. And look, Paul, Republicans have been around now for 2 years. There's purportedly going to be about a $600 million surplus. Let's see what we can do to give more money to education, to JTED, which certainly can use it.
I am total agreement on that. I think JTEG needs to get fully funded.
Let's absolutely go to the live line, 790-2040. Adriana, hello.
Hello. So I wanted to always acknowledge the fact that when Paul talks about the schools and the school system, it's always Republicans versus Democrats. It's always about the poor and the rich. And my whole thing is, why don't you ever make it about accountability? I would love for teachers to get paid, a wage. But, when you make it to where there's no accountability in the school structure itself, and then you always try to blame it up to the state legislator.
Let me answer that question, because, I've had this conversation with lots of people before, but look at all the studies say a good teacher in the classroom is the number one thing, and low class size is number two thing for academic success. And the pure fact of the matter is that takes money, because you're not going to get a good math teacher in a school if they can make a heck of a lot more money starting out as an engineer. Okay, and so $33,000 a year starting is not going to cut it for somebody who's a good math teacher. And it is the marketplace, as Bruce likes to point out. Where is that person going to go in terms of a career path? They're certainly not going to stay in Arizona either. Teachers are fleeing Arizona because of the low pay. And so, as you defund the schools, the pay goes down. The pay can't keep up to compete to get decent teachers in our classrooms. I will look at Minnesota is one of the highest tax states in the country. It's got the fourth highest tax rate in the country. It's got the fourth best economic growth rate in the country because they spend money on their schools. They got the best schools in the country, and they spend money on infrastructure. The same with Massachusetts. The same with Maryland. You go to the places where they actually fund education, you got the best public schools in the country, and they don't need to have vouchers to send rich people's kids to and subsidize rich people's kids to go to school.
Let me just end by quoting Ronald Reagan, that government is not the solution, it's the problem. If Ronald Reagan, I think he might be listening to the radio broadcast right now from wherever he is, if he was listening to this, he would say, you know, friends, remember back in 1980, I talked about abolishing the U.S. Department of Education. Taking those dollars and directly giving that to the states to allow them to better influence the education in their particular jurisdiction. And perhaps at the end of the day, if we saw changes on a federal level where states were able to really run their own school districts, Arizona and a lot of other states would have a better way of educating our children.
Well, let me put it this way. The public school system in this country in the 20th century made us the great country we are today. And the fact that dismantling that is a good idea somehow, it's insane. And we instead of investing in schools and education like China and India are, we're dismantling our public school system, which makes absolutely no sense, especially in the new technological revolution in the economy that we have. We need good education, and we need good higher education as well. We're defunding our schools as well, making it unaffordable for kids who are in the middle class.
All right, we've got one caller here, and then we're going to take the break. Timothy, go ahead.
Hey, Bill. I love listening to you guys haggle and demagogue and some this. Every time I hear this stuff, it reminds me why I have chosen to homeschool my children, because public schools suck, and listening to you guys argue about it makes me want to barf.
Okay. Hey, Timothy, I would agree with you that homeschooling is a great alternative for parents, and if it were left to Democrats, they would abolish homeschooling.
No, it wouldn't. I don't have a problem with homeschooling at all, but I do. Here's the issue. I mean, ultimately, we need people to remember what we did in the 20th century and have the best public school system in the world that created the best economy in the world. And dismantling doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, it really doesn't.
Nobody's dismantling anything, Paul.
You are.
Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash, thank you both very much for being with us.
Pleasure.
All right. Thanks. Hope you both have a great week. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Check out Moe for all of your framing needs. He really can take care of all of it. And they've got some really great art at the shop as well. And they're over there at Dodge and Fort Lowell. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. 12:32 on Buckmaster, noon to 1 each Monday through Friday. We'll be right back.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
5-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
5-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. And we'll we know what boats you.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday for an interview with TUSD Superintendent Dr. H.T. Sanchez. Also, we talk with Arizona Secretary of State Michelle Reagan. That's Buckmaster, noon to 1, on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, with live streaming podcasts and our complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:36 on this Monday afternoon. Our friend Barbara Brown is joining us now. Lots of things happening on the animal welfare advocacy front. Barbara is the Vice President of Program Services and Community Initiatives at the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Barbara, good to see you, and thank you for spending a few minutes with us on your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thanks so much, Bill. I'm having a great time today, and this just makes it even better.
Well, we're always happy to see you because we want to hear what's going on and so many things. We've made such progress, really, in making this a better community for our four-legged friends. The Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare, known as PAW, has really made tremendous progress, hasn't it?
Yes, it really, really has, Bill. And it takes a lot of people to make a difference, of course, because we have such a big problem here with animals being turned into both Pima Animal Care Center and the Humane Society, not to mention feral cats that are in the community. So it takes a lot of people to work on this problem with us. PAW was formed in late 2012. A small group of people got together saying, this has got to change. And so PAW was founded at that time with an initial meeting and the setting up of a steering committee. And this steering committee meets monthly. I'm the chair of that. And there are representatives from the shelters, rescue groups, breeders, funders, and veterinarians. And every 6 months, we hold a biannual meeting that's open to anyone interested in annual welfare. And this group of people, which numbers about 150, they drive what the steering committee and what the rest of the group works on. So it's a really democratic process. And so they have decided what work groups they will be a part of and what direction we will be going. So we've got a biannual meeting coming up on February 5th, and anyone's welcome to come. It's 8 a.m. to noon at the Abrams Public Health Building, and we will be hearing reports from our work groups and some other interesting developments.
Well, this is the first time that we've really brought everyone who has a stake in animal well-being to the table.
Well, that's true. You know, when you're out there doing the work, it really is very consuming. And you're worrying about the animals in your care, and are you going to have enough money to get them medically treated? Are you going to be able to partner with a vet who may give you a break? And the actual rescuing itself, and the feeding, and the cleaning, and the, you know, so you have very little time to even think about who else is out there. However, it's a wonderful opportunity to get some support for what you're doing, get some new volunteers, but also to trade ideas, trade frustrations, and see if you can't together make a bigger difference.
So, overview, we have two shelters in this community,
yes,
correct?
We do. Mm-hmm.
Pima Animal Care and the Humane Society
correct.
Of Southern Arizona. We have numerous rescue groups.
Yes, about 100
maybe,
or so.
Maybe per capita, and I don't know if anyone has really done statistics on this, but per capita, I would. It's a safe bet. We've probably got more than any other city in the United States.
Well, and there's a couple of reasons for that, I think. We have a large feral cat problem because animals don't have to undergo the winter like they're having back east.
Right.
So cats can survive. So cats then breed, and you know, there are a lot of them. We have the racetrack. So there are folks who really care about the greyhounds, and when they are done with their racing career, what is the next step? Then with both of the shelters, particularly Pima Animal Care Center, which is charged with taking every single animal that is presented to them, doesn't matter what that animal is. So
they do not turn away animals.
No, they do not. And so I think that because of that, and at one point they had, you know, 30,000 animals going through there,
mm-hmm.
we've reduced that amount. But because of that, then we've got more rescue groups, and there are rescue groups for special breeds, for whether they're small, large, old, young, you name it, we have a group for it, which is great, including potbelly pigs, and we have the Ironwood Pig Sanctuary, which is the largest one in the country that's up in Marana.
Where do the breeders come in all this?
Well, you know, there are responsible breeders, and a responsible breeder is someone who doesn't overbreed their animals, you know, once a year, every other year, and already have people lined up to take those puppies or kittens when they are born. And if anything happens to that animal, they will take that animal back. That's a responsible breeder. So we do want those folks to come to the table with us as well and to add to the conversation.
Trap and neuter return program is really kind of a model program in the country.
It really is. And we're putting Tucson on the map for many different things, but certainly the trap neuter return program. The Best Friends Animal Sanctuary responded to a request from Pima Animal Care Center and funded a 3-year project to trap, neuter, return feral cats in Tucson, and in hopes to reduce the population. You know, if you go into a community and you remove all of the cats, that presents a vacuum. And so what will happen is more cats will move into that neighborhood. If you trap, neuter, and then return those animals and they can't breed anymore, their numbers will go down slowly. You know, for some people, not fast enough, but their numbers will go down slowly. There won't be the vacuum, and then there will no longer be cats in that neighborhood. So the Best Friends, they funded three positions here that are based out of Pima Animal Care Center. Their goal is to trap, neuter, return 5,000 cats a year. They hit that goal for year one. They're well on their way to hit that goal for year two. They work with volunteers to help them with this effort so that it can continue after they're gone, because we really, 5,000 cats a year over 3 years, 15,000 cats, that's not going to solve the problem. But they're training people and working with us so that we can continue it after they're long gone. Now, you can tell which cats have been in this program. If you look at them and you see a colony, their ear will be tipped.
Huh.
Which is, it doesn't hurt the cat at all, okay. But it gives folks a visual mm-hmm. as to who has already been fixed and been taken in, gotten their shots, which is pretty cool, mm-hmm. and then put back out.
And overall, there's, again, Pima Animal Care has another crowding issue, I heard, that things have been really busy out there.
It's been really, really busy. You know, things go in waves.
Right.
What's really interesting is that, you know, the wave that we all expect is kitten season, mm-hmm. right, in mm-hmm. the spring and mm-hmm. puppy season. Mm-hmm. But they had a really big push for whatever reason in Thanksgiving around that time. And so what they're doing now is offering for animals that are big, mm-hmm. No fee. So you can go in and get an animal, I think that's over 25 pounds, which to me, a 25-pound animal is not that big,
right.
Unless it's a cat, of course. but then the fee is waived, and they've had a couple good weekends, so we're hoping to get more animals into their forever homes.
All right, 790-2040, if you have any kind of animal question, Barbara Brown will stick around for another segment. We have a huge event coming up. April 16th. If you love animals and want to adopt, this is going to be the place to go. It's going to be at the Tucson Expo, right?
Absolutely. It's going to be great fun.
We'll have the details right after the break on Buckmaster. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amo Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review, plus Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found at the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by one of our fine sponsors over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours east of Tucson if you're looking for a great getaway. And who isn't? Always, take a long weekend or just drive over there on Saturday morning. You'll be over there by midday, have lunch in downtown historic Silver City, and do some antiquing, just hanging out, hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. There's a lot of recreational opportunities and a lot of great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge. Check out the full listing of places to stay and things to do on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Barbara Brown is with us. Happy birthday again to Barbara Brown.
Thanks so much.
Barbara Brown is a huge animal welfare advocate in this community, and she has done so much to improve the lives of so many animals in this town. She, her day job, Vice President of Program Services and Community Initiatives at the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. The reason I say day job is because when you get into animal welfare issues, this is not a 9-to-5 deal.
No, that's right. And actually, though, PAW, PMO, mm-hmm. Alliance for Animal Welfare, is part of my day job. I do have six dogs at home and two cats and several tortoises, but I also have to keep up on what's going on. And so I spend a lot of time in the evenings really looking at announcements and pleas from some of the other groups, just so that I know what's going on in town.
Someone had a question, Barbara, about there are no confirmed cases of canine influenza in Pima County, and they want to get the word out about that. Pima County wants to get that word out.
Right. The animal shelter, I don't know if you know this, but is under the auspices of the health department. Did you know that?
I might have.
Yeah.
So
Dr. Francisco Garcia.
Yeah, he's going to be with us for a half hour in a couple of weeks.
Well, yeah. He's in charge of not only the health department, but also Pima Animal Care Center. And so he's up on the latest, and so far, so good.
Yeah.
And we need to watch it, though, just like all of these different things that come up. We just need to pay attention. And if you think your animal's not feeling well, definitely get it into a vet.
I have a question from one of our listeners, and let's go to Debbie at 790-2040. Go ahead, Debbie. You're with Bill and Barbara.
Hi, thanks so much. Mm-hmm. This is a very specific question, but I live in a complex where there are a lot of rentals, right? And we have neighbors who move in, and they have typically cats. And the cats are tamed and pretty well taken care of, and then they move, and they leave the cats behind. And by the time that we discover that they've been abandoned, they're not as tame as they once were. So I keep ending up in a situation where I'm feeding cats, and, I'm creating a dependency out mm-hmm. there.
Yes.
And I would much rather get them to a loving home ASAP, and I'm not real sure how to go about that.
Well, thank you, Debbie, and bless your heart for doing what you can to try to take care of these little ones who are left behind. Barbara, go ahead.
Well, we do really appreciate you doing that. And there are folks that can help you. Tucson Cares is one organization. Jessica Schumann, she's really a cat expert. But the Friends of Pima Animal Care Center have funded two positions to be cat leads over at the shelter. And what's going on over there is absolutely remarkable. I would not hesitate to actually have an animal taken over there now with these two cat leads. They are monitoring the cats with 200 to 400 interactions during the week. They have volunteers that are there. They are working with, there are some cats that absolutely cannot be in a home. They are not necessarily totally feral, but they're not in a home, and they have options for those animals, working cat animals that end up being in a barn on property or end up in warehouses. So that's one option, but they also are monitoring the animals very closely for when they get sick so that they can get on that immediately. Sometimes in that close confines of a shelter, animals will pass, you know, the runny nose and that sort of thing, and they're getting on it immediately, which is really helping with their adoption rate. But the most wonderful thing is that they are spending a lot of time socializing animals. So animals come in, they're typically a little bit traumatized, they've lost their family, they've lost their home, and they may stay in the back of the cage or they may even hiss. They're working really, really hard to make these animals feel comfortable, feel loved, and to get them out as quickly as possible into a loving home. I'm really pleased with the results that they've been having with this program, which has only been going for 7 months and was funded by a benefactor in the community who really cares about cats and wants to see greater outcomes. They went from about 73% of the cats finding a home to over 91%.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And they're aiming for 100% within the next few months. So I'm really pleased with that and think that the outcomes for cats are so much better. They also have 4 locations in different PetSmarts. So that also helps. There's another way for people to see the cats and to adopt the cats rather than come straight to the shelter.
So Debbie, one of Debbie's options certainly would be to go to Pima Animal Care.
Yes.
If you can get the animals.
Absolutely. So if they were used to being in a home and they're tame, then she may be able to get them. But there's also what's another thing that's really, truly wonderful is that as you come up to Pima Animal Care Center to the intake door, there are folks there at a help desk. So they are there to help you with your animals so that it may be something very simple that that's the reason you may be turning the animal in. They're escaping out the backyard. Well, they maybe can put you in contact with someone who can help you build a new fence, that sort of thing, so that you can keep your animals, and certainly they consult on cats as well. So so that's another resource, is the help desk at Pima Animal Care Center.
All right, back to the mega adoption event. That's coming up April 16th. What are the details for that, Barbara Brown?
Well, that, you know, 4-16-16, I love it. It's like this math problem. Everything
4-16-16
divisible by 4.
Easy to remember.
Yeah, at Tucson Expo from 9 to 4. This will be our second year for doing this program, and we bring as many local rescue groups together as possible to be in one place. Last year, we had 130 animals that were adopted that day. 2,300 people walked through the expo center. So this year, of course, I want 150 animals to get out of there. And the underlying message, of course, is that we hope that people choose adoption over purchasing an animal from a pet store. What's really wonderful, it's kind of one-stop shopping. So if I were interested in a dog, for example, I could go there and I could talk to the folks who have the beagles, the folks that have the greyhounds, the folks that have the little teeny chihuahuas, the folks that have the pit bulls, and find out about the breed. They know their animals really well, can tell you their personalities and what works best. Are they child-friendly? Do they need to run? Are they couch potatoes? You know, whatever it is that you need to know. And you can make an informed decision about your new best friend. So there are not only dog folks there, cat folks are there, and we're hoping that the reptile rescue folks will be there as well. We got some turtles adopted last year, which was really fantastic.
Speaking of turtles, this is really off the wall, but I was over at Fort Lowell Park yesterday, walking in the park. You know the pond? Where the ducks are. Well, there's a bunch of turtles there, too. Are these turtles that were some at one time house pets or something that were turned in? Or?
So they're red ear sliders. Huh. And you remember, Bill, when you were a kid, and you could buy the little tiny turtles, and you'd buy the plastic holder and the little palm tree,
I had some. I had some turtles.
And they actually gave you dried shrimp to feed the animals, which is not their food.
Yeah.
So, of course, these little things died, which was really too bad. And actually, that's how the law came to be, that you can't sell a turtle that's less than 4 inches across with its shell.
Huh.
Because they don't survive, but also because of the salmonella, and little kids would put them in their mouth.
Right.
So those have probably been dumped by someone who snuck in there in the middle of the night and slid their turtle into the pond.
Well, they got quite a colony, and they were out enjoying the sun.
Yeah, they love to bask. Yeah.
Barbara Brown, thank you so much.
16,
April 16th for that big adoption event. We'll see you before then, Barbara.
I hope so.
And again, happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
4 Tucson at 4 this afternoon with Mike Shaw. 6 to 8 in the morning, the Daily Double with Chris and Joe, the Daily Show with Christy Simone, and a guest host every day from 8 to 9, and then Sean McCluskey from 9 to 10. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04 with Ray Allen. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.